in this age of technology and advancement and cutting edge research and ideas and communication and exploration, we are faced with so many different challenges that we as a human species are staring down that people who lived even 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, wouldn't have had to face, because each age has their own challenge that they have to deal with. And one of the challenges that we have to be able to contend with is how technology can be used in a way that is responsible for us while also giving room and space for our own health and well-being. Because the truth is that technology, while it does make our lives normally easier, there are also different things that it complicates. For instance, most of us that are listening to this podcast here have a cell phone with them or near them right now, or we have a screen that is near us, whether or not it's a television screen or laptop or computer screen. There are so many different ways that technology has integrated itself into our life that we have to be careful, because sometimes that integration comes with different costs and it can affect us. And today we're going to talk a little bit about how screens and how like cellular devices, how those types of devices can impact our mental health, and really about striking a good balance. Because again, this is something that people that would have lived 50, 100 years ago would not have had to contend with, but it's something we have to contend with now. So it's something we want to kind of know how to create these boundaries around technology that we can allow them into our lives to help make our lives easier, but also be able to make sure that we're staying healthy around it. Welcome to Mental Health Insights. This is a podcast where we take complex mental health issues or complex mental health concepts and we break them down to make them simple to understand, and also provide actionable steps that you can take to improve your own mental health. My name is Craig Faust, and I'm a licensed professional counselor. Let's jump into today's episode. Technology is a wonderful thing. I am able to communicate from my cellular device to, I can communicate to people across the world. I was in a therapy consultation with a counselor. I'm based in the United States of Missouri, and I had someone on the same meeting as me that was from Japan, and another person on that meeting was from Mexico, and it was able to feel like we were right next to each other, and over our computer, over the internet. So technology has graced us with so many wonderful things, and it's something that we have to be careful with. So as most of you that may be parents may recognize a little more, because for human beings, it's usually easier for us to observe things in others rather than observe things in ourselves, that if you're raising kids and you give them a device, whether or not it's a tablet or a cell phone or anything like that, you notice that over time, that the longer and longer they have it, the more and more likely those things are going to affect their mood. And if you're curious like me, you may have wondered, why does me sitting on this device, why does it affect my mood? Why does it make me tired? Why does it make me irritable? What is it that's going on? And like most people, you can start to attribute things. Like there's a big push that video games caused violence and aggression in kids. And, that's been debunked by research. There's this push that technology is something that is awful and, you know, challenging. We find out like, no, that's not it. We just need to be able to find a balance. And for us today, we want to understand, what is it that technology does to our mental health, and what does that balance look like? So in order to do this, we have to look back at early humans. So early humans who did not have this type of technology were never faced with this type of thing. They never had to develop different habits around having a screen or having these different games or having these different outlets or being able to communicate in this way. There's tons of different reading and different things about that. And most of us that listen to this have taken some types of history class. We know that life was very different in a lot of different ways. Whether or not it was having to write notes with more people having different types of memory, right? My parents in particular, they had to memorize every phone number that they had to dial. And that's something that I've never had to do. So it's a skill that I never developed. So for us, the integration of technology has created some differences. And while humans have been on this planet, there has not been a lot of technological development. There has not been screens, there has not been cell phones or anything like that. So because of that, we are reaping some of the consequences of that. So whenever we have screens in front of us, there's a couple different things that it does. So screens themselves are not something that we kind of passively watch, right? We might feel like we're passively doing this, but whenever we're looking at the screen and the light that's coming in, it's first of all usually very bright, and second of all, whatever is happening on that screen, whether or not it's me scrolling through Facebook or Twitter, or if I'm doing something work-related on there, I'm entertaining myself by watching a television show or a movie, that whenever that light comes into my eye and that bright light, it has a effect on my brain that excites it and makes my brain more active around this. So while I could be passively doing something like watching television, it's not something that's actually passive for my brain. And this becomes something really challenging, because those of us that maybe need to sit in front of screens for a good portion of the day, we can get very, very tired. And part of the reason is that our brain is so active and it's having to process so much information, and there are so many more things that are happening whenever we're looking at a screen, just because it's not something that we're used to. Like I said, the bright lights and the color variations and different things like that are not something that's natural for our brain. It's not something that our brain has, you know, grown and developed to be able to adapt to. And because of that, that means that we have to adapt our lifestyle to these types of technology if we want to maintain good mental health. So, give you an example, right? If I spend a ton of time on my cell phone, it's going to make me more and more tired, right? I'm doing things on the cell phone. I am getting signals from the cell phone. My brain is active. And what I mean by like your brain gets excited, what I mean is there's more firing in the brain. There's more processing. And for the brain, the more processing that happens, the more energy that gets consumed. And the more energy that gets consumed for us, the more rest that we end up needing. Well, the challenge is that screens can be so exciting that a lot of professionals in the medical community recommend that we get off screens at least an hour before we would go to bed to help our brain revert back to kind of normal levels of functioning. Now, that's something that's huge, because like for us, and something to think of whenever we think of ourselves, but also our kids, is that whenever we're in front of those types of screens, even if it's something that we're supposed to passively be doing, like watching a movie, it's something that amps up our brain. It amps up the production of different neurochemicals. It amps up the production of the processing that's occurring, and it makes us more tired. And the thing is that if we don't have that break, or if, you know, if you're one of the people that sleep with the TV on, which there's quite a few people that do, that exciting, that ramping up of the brain still will happen to some extent while you're sleeping because of the light, the noises, or even if you don't have the noises on, just the light, your brain will still be processing something. So whenever we spoke a couple weeks ago about calming our racing mind, last edition that we just had in the series, the Calming the Racing Mind Part 3, that we talked about giving like input going into your nervous system. I want you to think of the input that is going into your system from these screens as something that's very potent, as something that's very intense. Kind of like if I was to stand in front of a fire hose, which is a great pressure to help the water reach great heights and to put out fires. A lot of pressure in fire hoses. It's like, kind of like if I stand in front of a fire hose and I'm getting hit by that. That's kind of like the same amount of intensity that screens can have. And yeah, you can dim your screen and you can put blue light filters on, and you can wear blue light filter glasses and everything to try to reduce some of these effects. But at the end of the day, no matter what, because what's happening on the screen is so interactive and it's so it changes so much and requires so much processing, I want you to think about this. The scenes and the things that you see in movies and everything, the shifting from scene to scene or from window to window or anything like that, we don't actually see that in nature too often. We don't see the collage of colors and images and information, but we see that all the time on our screens. So it's like getting hit by a fire hose instead of what we'd be more used to, right? A lot of people, whenever they go on vacation, they go to a place where they can be closer to nature or they can relax. And usually it's to actually be away from screens, right? It's to be away from work, or it's to be out within nature where there's more trees or there's more room or anything like that. And that's because that's a more natural environment for our brain, and it helps to slow us down. One of the biggest challenges is that with, you know, current parents and current generations, is that screens and technology around those are so available that usually we can kind of become used to them at a very young age. And whenever I say used to, I mean used to having them around. Our brain does not adapt to this level of excitement because it's not actually designed for it. It's kind of like our brain's actually not designed to know and recognize the faces of, you know, more than 100 people, but, you know, that's kind of something we're used to, right? There's some people that have thousands of followers or thousands of friends or anything like that on different social media platforms. So for us, we are trying to stretch the boundaries of what our brain is actually capable of. And we have to try to give our brain a break, because the thing is, if we don't give our brain a break, that leads to serious mental health consequences. So like if our brain is constantly getting blasted with this fire hose of information and excitement and processing that it has to do, then it is going to get tired faster. Then you're going to become tired in the middle of the day. You're going to have a buildup of waste from your brain being overactive. But the thing is too, an overactive brain can then start to lead to an overactive body. Our body can start to move. Our body can start to feel that stress and anxiety, that of the strain that our brain is going through all the time. This is something that's hugely challenging, because as a society that, you know, here in America, where a huge portion of the population suffers from anxiety, a lot of times there's a lot of correlation between screens, right? A lot of times people use screens, right, as a way of coping, or as a way of dealing with boredom, or as a way of dealing with anxiety. And the challenge is that every time you look at that screen, that is something that is hitting you with a fire hose of processing power and energy that your brain has to consume. And things that affect your brain, of course, affect your body. As we've talked about in previous episodes especially in, you know, different episodes like Brain Basics. So for us, if we are someone, like if you're listening to this, you are someone that has been so, like you're just tired all the time. Your eyes feel tired. They feel heavy and hurt. Yeah, you could be someone that's not getting a lot of sleep, but you also may have found that the more and more you sleep, it doesn't quite do it. Then you may need to try to give yourself a break from screens, whether or not that's taking a day off or so, allowing your brain the time to actually recover and recoup so that it can replenish resources that it needs for the brain for just normal functioning, but also to give your eyes a break, to give your brain that break that it needs, and to give yourself something else to be able to focus on and look at that requires a lot less processing power. Things in nature require a lot less processing power for us than looking at things like screens, as we kind of talked about before. So that means that we want to create a healthy balance, because screens are here. They're going to be here. They're here to stay, right? They are not going away. So for us, we have to learn how to create a healthy lifestyle with these different screens. And for me, I think the great rule of thumb is that the less screens that you can use, the better. So what that means is trying to limit your screen time to a certain amount of time per day, and trying to find different hobbies that don't have to do with screens as much, whether or not that's gardening, reading, or just talking to people, or, you know, engaging, taking a walk, anything like that, where a screen doesn't have to be present. And if you can limit the time that you're on screens, it's going to be something that's going to help your mental health. And this is something that's important, because a lot of times when we're on screens, we can see stressful things as well. And what I mean by that is a lot of times on social media, we can be friends, or we can see articles that are something that goes against what we see or believe. Now, you may hear me say that, and you may say, well, Craig, I want to be well-versed and well-rounded. I don't want to just have friends, or I don't want to just have articles that say everything that I believe in. You know, I want to have the other side of the information too. Well, that is something that's important, but I also want you to consider the mental drain that that causes. There's a reason that we as humans naturally gravitate towards people that are more like us, people that think like us, articles that agree with our opinions or our politics or our beliefs or anything like that. So for us, we also want to consider this a break from us constantly having to defend ourselves in some ways. And a lot of times with, you know, the internet, sometimes it's defending ourselves from imaginary arguments that we actually never engage in, or arguments with people online that we're never going to meet. So for us, taking a step back from screens is also giving us a break from having to defend our worldview or our beliefs, and allowing us to have some peace away from that constant battlefield that the internet and social media and news outlets can be for us. It's not saying goodbye to all of them. That may be something that's really important for you. Maybe it's something that you use for your job, or it's something you use to keep in contact with people. Those are all really great uses for the technology available to us. We would just want to keep in mind that our brain and our body was not designed with this stuff in mind, right? We have not adapted to being able to do this. We've not adapted to this type of lifestyle. So we have to give ourselves time to slow down, give ourselves time to have a break. And it's always better to do this in the evening, as close to bed as possible, so that, you know, being on screens doesn't affect your sleep, because that's the thing it does. If you're getting blasted by a fire hose before you go to bed, well, you're going to be up for a little bit. You're going to be up thinking. You're going to be up, oh, like I should look at this article, or I should look at this, or I should see what this person's doing, or I'm so bored, or I can't go to sleep right now. So it's easy, becomes easy to reach for the phone, or it becomes easy to try to watch a show until you get tired and fall asleep. And the thing is, you may feel tired, but your brain is wired. And this is one of the things that's directly responsible for so many of us experiencing higher levels of anxiety before we go to bed. Because not only is it a time that we're actually stopping and we're not doing anything, so like our brain gets to try to think and catch up on all the things that's happened to it during the day, but it's also a time period where we're most likely to have either just finished with some type of screen, so our brain is still processing things that it's experienced, or it is a time where we actually end up getting on our screens. I cannot tell you how many times right before I get to bed, for whatever reason, I get on my phone and look up different articles, look up different things that just popped into my head, or, oh, like I need to add this to my cart, you know, for whenever I go to the store, or this to my list. All those times that I would do that, it was harder for me to go to sleep. And, you know, in previous episodes, I've talked about being able to be really conscious and being able to kind of track yourself to get an idea of what affects you and what's not. There is a TV show that I enjoy, and I recently did a little experiment. I had watched a particular part of a TV show that really got me amped up. It really got me riled up. Not because it was controversial or anything like that. It was like exciting. It was a cool action sequence in the TV show. So I had already seen it once, and I watched it again. And whenever I did this, I put my heart rate monitor on. So because I had already seen it once, I already knew what was going to happen. And the thing is that even though I already knew what was going to happen, I could already choreograph it because it was only about a minute into the scene. And man, I was wired for at least an hour and a half afterwards. It was something I'd already seen and something I'd already experienced. So can you imagine if you watch a video on YouTube, you know, follow your favorite YouTuber, and you enjoy that experience, or your favorite, even sometimes like your favorite like podcast or something like that, and you listen to that, and you see it right before you go to bed, and it's just funny, and it's great, and it's something that you enjoy. Well, that may not be as relaxing for your body and your brain as you think that it is. Instead, it gives your brain a ton of input that ends up making it harder for you to actually calm down. But the thing is, we do want to give our brain space to be able just to be calm. So this technology that we have, while a great thing, is very exciting to our brain. And we have to recognize that it's exciting so that we can responsibly use this technology where we need to and try our best to limit it where we don't really need it. Right, so what this looks like in my own life is trying to limit how much I look at screens, how much I have to be on the computer, how much I look at my phone. I got this little tracker on my phone. Last week it told me I used my phone 8 hours less than the month or than the week before, rather. That is crazy. So just me trying to be more conscious about this. Just me trying to recognize it more and put my phone away and trying to be in front of screens as much. 8 hours less. That's a lot of time that I got back. And I tell you what, I was really productive last week. But I also felt better. I felt better because I felt lighter because there wasn't all this other information that I'm getting hit with. And it's not all bad information, right? It can be good information, right? I like getting on Facebook and seeing what my friends are doing and like celebrating on like big moments. Like, oh, this person just got a raise. They just got a new house. You know, this person is excited about a trip that's coming up. There's a lot of cool things with this, but being able to balance those two things, right? And finding the right balance for you. And one of the best ways of doing this is taking a technology break, you know, like I said, maybe a 24-hour break, and then kind of, you know, once you kind of have that break, or if you could do more than a day, but like a 24-hour break, so maybe a day that you're not working or not doing much, and just noticing, like, how does that day feel? Then the very next day, go ahead and be on a screen for a couple hours. Notice how it feels afterwards. Notice what happens to you. Trying to pay particular attention to what your tolerance level is, because all of us are going to have different tolerances, right? And I know that some of us have to use screens for work, and this makes this even more challenging because that means if you use it for work, then you might want to consider trying to find hobbies that don't involve a screen at all. Because the thing is, it's going to affect your mental health. It's going to impact it, and it's going to make it harder for you to experience positive feelings because your brain may not have the resources for it. It's going to make it harder for you to feel like you have energy. And if it's harder for you to have energy, it's going to be easier for you to get tired. It's going to be easier for you to get irritable. It's going to be easier for you to get angry. It's easier for you to fight with your spouse, fight with your kids, fight with your neighbors, fight with friends. It's going to be easier for that stuff to happen. Or you do not even want to be around, and have those types of interactions because you're already so exhausted. So there are so many different things that this can impact that it's important for us to have this little experiment for ourselves so that we can do a really good job of practicing having good mental health and really practicing and modeling for people around us, especially if we're parents, modeling what it's like to have good boundaries with technology and to really be responsible with the time that we spend on it and the time that we spend with the people around us and with other things in our lives. So I hope that this was helpful for you. There are a lot of other effects that technology can have on us. For me, this just seemed like the biggest one, and I didn't want to hit you with like a huge list because the truth is each of us is a little bit different. So I want to encourage you to be curious about how technology affects you, how screens affect you, how the time that you spend on screens affects you, and to try to be conscious of that. And a lot of times in order for us to know that, we got to have that like 24-hour fast from technology just to even get a good sense of what it's like. So again, I hope this was helpful. And if it was, I would ask that you consider leaving us a review on whatever podcasting platform you listen to so that other people that are interested in improving their mental health can find this, this type of material and this resource so that they can begin their journey as well. Until next time, I wish you well.